You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Idaho is the latest state to pass a so-called Stand Your Ground law. This law gives people more license to use deadly force when they're threatened. It's also one of many states where local gun groups are making politicians think twice before opposing similar gun rights measures. Guns in America's Heath Druzan has more.
Idaho State Representative Christy Zitto keeps three guns around the house. But she's also got a burglar alarm.
It's a guinea. We have one guinea. She's better than a watchdog. When she gets upset, the whole entire neighborhood knows it. And then I've got three dogs. We have a Yorkie, the border collie.
That's Zitto, speaking at her rustic farmhouse, set amid sagebrush and crop fields in Hammett, Idaho. Stand Your Ground and Castle Doctrine, the rights to shoot when threatened and defend property without having to retreat, are sacred ideals to her.
And that right is a God-given right. In fact, I wrote down some scriptural references to give to you that support Castle Doctrine.
Zitto won her seat 2 years ago after beating a conservative incumbent who was painted as insufficiently pro-gun. She got help from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance, part of a loose association of state gun rights groups across the country.
Get involved in the fight to pass Stand Your Ground law and other pro-gun bills down here in the Capitol.
They ban guns here at the Republican State Convention, and they have the gall to fly an enormous American flag here.
Mike DeWine betrayed gun owners when he teamed up with Firestar.
Those are videos from the Iowa, Georgia, and Ohio gun owners groups, all of them politically to the right of the NRA. Despite their conservative views, they often target Republicans who they say aren't pro-gun enough. Back in Idaho, the Second Amendment Alliance claimed their biggest political trophy this year after Zitto pushed a bill that would have given Idaho one of the most permissive Stand Your Ground laws in the country.
I firmly believe that the Second Amendment is one of our most important constitutional rights.
That's Tom Lorcher, who represented his ruby red corner of eastern Idaho for nearly 30 years. He used his position as a committee chairman to kill the bill. This year, he and his A-plus NRA rating won't be back at the state capitol after he lost his primary. Standing his ground on Stand Your Ground appears to have killed his political career.
My first thing was not anger with my constituents. What did I do to them that they would think that I hadn't served them well?
Laws broadening the definition of self-defense have been sweeping the nation since Florida passed its version of Stand Your Ground in 2005. Today, it's the law in well over half of American states. At the moment, calls for gun control are growing in much of the country, and several studies have linked Stand Your Ground laws to increases in homicides. Which brings us back to Lorcher, the Idaho politician who opposed what he saw as an extreme version of Stand Your Ground. The Idaho Second Amendment Alliance painted him as a gun grabber, even though he actually supported the more limited legislation that became Idaho's Stand Your Ground law.
These groups like this are good at one-liners, but they're not good at details. And the devil is always in the details on all this legislation.
Nonetheless, the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance helped knock out Lorcher and one other Republican incumbent. They spent more than $11,000 in state races, significant money in contests that rarely get much attention and often feature no challenger. During the upcoming legislative session, the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance says it will keep trying to make it easier to claim self-defense in shootings. Alliance President Greg Pruitt says his supporters will be watching.
They might want to take out some other legislators at the ballot box if they're not going to let the people have a voice.
And it won't be a theoretical discussion. A deadly shooting in October following an argument in North Idaho is likely to be the first case to test one of the country's newest Stand Your Ground laws. For Guns in America, I'm Heath Druzan.
And Heath is joining me live in studio to talk a bit more in depth about this issue. Welcome to the program, Seth.
Good to be here.
Heath, I should call you Heath, not Seth. I don't know why I just did that. But, you know, that's what happens on live radio. Okay, so take me back to Idaho's last legislative session, because this is when our version of Stand Your Ground was passed, basically, correct?
That's correct, yes. And there were two competing bills. So a Stand Your Ground bill did pass, but there was another bill that was much more expansive that would have made it much more difficult to prosecute people when they shot someone and claimed self-defense, and would have also put the onus on local governments to reimburse people who were found not guilty by reason of self-defense. So it could have been a very expensive piece of legislation, depending on court cases.
So then what happens this legislative session? And the reason why I ask that is that we're seeing some change in lawmakers coming January 7th.
Right, that's correct. So the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance, a gun rights group who was a big backer of the bill that did not pass, the more expansive bill, they actually supported two candidates, two Republican candidates who knocked out incumbents. And one of them had been in the legislature for nearly 30 years. So what's to be seen still is if that changes the calculus for especially Republican legislators on whether or not they'll oppose gun rights bills that they see as going too far.
What about the idea of bringing back a more expansive bill that didn't pass?
They've promised to do exactly that. They have some allies in the legislature. So we'll see what they bring, what the details are. The AG's office certainly, the Attorney General's office certainly had some reservations about their bill last time. So we'll see what the bill looks like, what the details are, and if its fate is different this time.
And in the piece, you did briefly mention that there was a shooting in October in North Idaho, and we have not yet tested the Stand Your Ground law in Idaho. This could potentially do that.
That's correct. There was a shooting after an argument on a doorstep. According to police, a man went inside his house, got a gun, and eventually shot and killed another man who had come to argue with him. And that case right now is still going through the court system. Mm-hmm. But the attorney for the shooter, the alleged shooter, has said he's going to claim he's going to use the Stand Your Ground law as a defense.
And there was another shooting, correct? But that seemed to be more black and white than this particular one in October.
That's correct. There was another shooting where a couple was at their house, and police say a man broke in and was advancing on them and menacing them. And the man in the house, he had a weapon. He shot the man, shot the intruder, killed him. No charges have been filed. So at least as of now, that case seems to be a little more straightforward.
But that's what we're seeing, right? I mean, when we go back to the first case you were talking about, even when we go and look at Florida, for example, there was that shooting in the parking lot that was caught on tape outside of a store where there was an altercation. And you see a man grabbing for his gun. And I believe even when the victim was starting to walk away, this is where we get into the complication potentially of Stand Your Ground.
Right. So it's all very complicated, but to boil it down, what people really disagree about is what does it mean to be threatened, and what is the standard there, and what is the standard for getting yourself out of the situation with it before you use deadly force. So, you know, that's obviously different people have different opinions about that. But I think it does make some legislators nervous when all you have to do is say you feel threatened as opposed to maybe having to show what the threat was. Mm-hmm. That's where the gray area is.
So for people who may not have heard of Guns and America yet, talk to me a little bit about what this initiative is.
So I'm part of a national project with 10 reporters across the country, all at different public radio stations. And we are examining the role of guns in American life. It's a broad 2-year project, and we're looking at everything from gun violence to hunting issues to legislation like we're talking about right now.
And what's interesting to me about the Guns and America initiative is when you talk about the 10 reporters, I mean, you are placed in very different locations around the country. Because when we look at Idaho versus, you know, more urban areas and even East Coast, there are true differences.
That's correct. And that's, that's why we do have people scattered in different places. What I'm going to be covering in Idaho is probably going to be very different than what our reporter in Hartford, Connecticut is going to be looking at, which is also going to be very different from what our reporter in Atlanta, Georgia is looking at. We're a huge country. We have a lot of guns and a lot of different cultures and a lot of different reasons people carry guns. So,
that's part of the reasoning behind the initiative is looking at what someone on the East Coast, let's say the Connecticut, New York area, and how they view it, and versus that more Western culture and how someone in the Pacific Northwest and the Intermountain West may view guns and why.
Exactly. The reason we have people in different places is because obviously gun culture is different in different places, and that means any kind of solutions might really need to be tailored to the place. What works in Idaho might not work in Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to thank you for coming in today, Heath, and talking more about this, as well as the piece on Stand Your Ground and breaking that down for us.
Thank you.